According to recognized aerotechnical tests, the bumblebee cannot fly because of the shape and weight of its body in relation to the total wing area. But the bumblebee does not know this, so she goes ahead and flies anyway. What impossible thing will you do today? Good morning. Welcome to First Congregational Church of Natick. I'm Reverend Cindy Worthington Berry, and no matter who you are or where you are on the journey, you are welcome here. Whether you are with us on site or online, live or later, we are so glad to be connected. For more information about life at FCC Natick, please visit our website, where you can sign up for the link and get all sorts of important information about life at FCC Natick, as well as the broader community. And if you are with us for the first time today, welcome. We are an open and affirming congregation, fully welcoming people of all sexual orientations, gender identities, and gender expressions. Children of all ages are welcome in this community in whatever way is meaningful for you. We have the playground down front, lovingly staffed nursery care. Good morning, everybody in the nursery. And Sunday school after the word for all ages. After worship today, we have a few things going on. One is coffee hour hosted by Robin and Jeff. Huge thanks to Robin and Jeff for hosting that for everyone who's on site. And then Jeff is going to host a coffee chat today at 11:45 in the chat room off the vestry, talking about the Guatemala Project, a time for all of us to share together, have conversation, and listen to a bit about Jeff and what he has to share about that project. This fall, we've been imagining together what God is calling us to do and be as we consider making a financial commitment to the church for the year ahead. This morning, we're bringing and blessing those commitments. You might recall that we have set a goal of 75 sustainers this year. Some households have sent in their commitment early. We already have 28 sustainers for the year ahead. Many of you on site have brought your sustainer form with you today, and we will collect those during the offering. If you need a sustainer form, we have extras. Just raise your hand now, and members of the generosity team would be glad to bring you one. Generosity team, I see hands. Folks at home, you are free to mail in your form, and the generosity team is also glad to follow up with you. And if you are new to FCC, do not worry. We are glad you're here. There's no pressure to give anything. If you don't know what I'm talking about, just don't worry about it at all. Other people know, and that's good. We're glad you're here today. What is important to know is that we all know the strength and hope and peace that we can imagine together. One more thing. Today, keep your hands up for the generosity team. They're getting their steps in this morning. Today, we are sharing our gratitude for Randall Davinsky, who has served as the admin of FCC Natick for 2.5 years. He has been an incredible source of support to all of us and to the ministry of this church, and he has added so much to that ministry as well. Those of you in person, I invite you to coffee hour, where we have a gift and cake and a few thoughts to share. But all of us gathered right now, both on site and online, we are so grateful for everything you've done, Randall. Thank you. As we prepare to light the Christ candle this morning, I invite you to settle your mind, body, and spirit. I'm pretty serious about it this week. So deepen your breath. Relax your shoulders. Even let your face smile. Once there was someone who said such amazing things and did such wonderful things that people began to follow him. But they didn't know who he was, so they simply had to ask him. And once he answered, "I am the light that was once in one place at one time is now in all places and at all times, let us welcome the light.
Good morning.
Good morning.
My name is Sarah. Please join me in the call to worship. Your response is, imagine that. We can do so much more as a community than on our own.
Imagine that.
We can build bridges, move mountains, change lives.
Imagine that.
We can make God present here and now.
Imagine that.
But it will take all of us together as we imagine that. Amen.
Our opening hymn is Lift Every Voice and Sing. This is often referred to as the Black National Anthem. The words were written by James Weldon Johnson in 1900. The UCC leader, Reverend Dr. Yvonne Delk, describes the hymn in this way. The words were written as a mandate that would center and anchor a people living and existing in a system designed to dehumanize and deny their essential worth and value as persons. The words were a call to hold on and hold out in the context of the day-to-day reign of terror experienced in lynchings, Jim Crow laws, and a legal system of separation designed to deny their full humanity and to keep them enslaved and oppressed. The ability to survive and persevere, as well as the courage to resist oppression, would be centered in the call to stay true to our God and true to our native land. You're invited to rise in body or in spirit.
Thank you.
short, people of the world, unite. Our centering prayer begins with a bit of silence. In the quiet, try and clear out any noise from the week just past. Make space for the voice of the one who has been with you from the beginning and will be with you to the end and beyond. Let us pray. God, you have called us beloved. We are beautiful, creative, and strong, and you have called us beloved. We are broken, struggling, in pain, and you have called us beloved. We have done amazing things, and we have fallen short, and you have called us beloved. Open our ears to hear your voice. You have called us beloved. And hear us as we share in one voice the prayer taught to us by the one who taught us that we are all beloved. Sorry, kind of losing it here. Our God, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Robert Fulghum wrote, "Peace is not something you wish for. It is something you make, something you are, something you do, and something you give away." Friends, may we make peace, be peace, and act with peace, and now give it away to each other. Then we'll sing our song of celebration, a new one for this season of gratitude. God's peace be with you.
Thank you.
Our scripture reading this morning is Psalm 130. The Psalms are poetry in the Hebrew Bible that reflect the broadest range of human emotions: joy, pain, rage, sorrow, awe. Psalm 130 is a psalm of lament. Those poems turn toward God with complaint. I hear somebody's phone. That was just cracking me up. That's the same ring Lincoln has. Okay. Everybody's okay? All right, good. All right. So anyway, Psalm 30 is what kind of a psalm? Okay. Lament. Those poems turn toward God with complaint. The psalmist, the author of a psalm, is in distress. Something hard or painful is happening in their life or in their community, and they share all that pain with God. Maybe they are blaming God for what is happening, or they're challenging God to show up, or they are just venting in God's direction. I really like Psalms of Lament. I like the way they remind us that raging at God is not only okay, it's a spiritual discipline. That God can handle our anger, our fear, our sadness. God doesn't want us to look on the bright side. God wants us to show up with honesty. Otherwise, what good is God or a relationship with God? God doesn't only want to hear from us when we're in a good mood, when everything is going right. In fact, just the opposite. Now, there is one thing I struggle with in the Psalms of Lament. They always end with a turning toward God, with the conviction that everything's going to be all right and that God is going to help make it so. It often feels a little abrupt to me. In verse 1, the psalmist is devastated. By verse 7, they are praising God, believing that God will somehow make things better. I've always been skeptical, not only of that pivot, but also that reliance on God to fix everything. Recently, I decided that there's no way the writer actually felt better by the end of the psalm. There's no way somebody had that kind of transition in like 7 verses. Maybe the psalmist doesn't see God as some heavenly being with a magic wand, but a presence that brings some peace and strength even in the midst of that pain. And so they write those final words of hope, setting an intention for the future. The pain or fear isn't wrapped up in a nice bow, but even in the midst of the lament, there is the possibility of a better day, and that's how they end the psalm. Sarah will read it for us.
I am sorry, I have some pages that printed on double-sided and some pages that printed on one side, and it got me all mixed up, so I apologize. All right, here I am on the right page at last. So here, Psalm 130, a psalm of lament. Out of the depths I cry to you, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. If you, O Lord, should mark iniquities, Lord, who could stand? But there is forgiveness with you, so that you may be revered. I wait for the Lord. My soul waits, and in God's word I hope. My soul waits for the Lord more than those who watch for the morning, more than those who watch for the morning. O Israel, hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is steadfast love, and with God is great power to redeem. It is God who will redeem Israel from all its iniquities. These are our sacred songs. May they soothe our souls.
Children of all ages are invited to lean in for a word for all ages. Look at the leaning. They say that when you are stressed out, anybody stressed out? They say that when you are stressed out, one thing that can help is cloud gazing. Looking up at the clouds, watching them go by, noticing what you see as the clouds shift their shapes. Now, it probably doesn't work the same way on a TV screen, but we have a cloud picture anyway. We need all the chances of lowering our stress that we can get. So let's just gaze at those clouds for a minute. I have it this way, so I'm just gonna look this way. Does it feel better? Can't hurt, right? But now that we're looking at those clouds, I wonder, do you see any shapes in there? Does anybody see any shapes in those clouds? Declan? Declan sees big fluffs. How about anybody else? You see anything in the clouds, any shapes?
Aladdin's lamp.
Ah, Sarah Lynn sees Aladdin's lamp, and maybe the, I see that too now that you say that.
I didn't see it before.
Anybody else? What do you see? The beard. Okay, well, now I gotta look for the man with the beard. What else do you see? Oh, wait, I feel like I see a dog. Does anybody see a dog? Other people saw a dog? And Heffalump? Totally? Doesn't that remind you of a Heffalump? That is what I thought right away. I'm like, it's a Heffalump. There's all kinds of things that we might see in there. And isn't it funny, like, when Sarah Lynn said Aladdin's lamp, like, I didn't see that, but as soon as she said it, I saw it. Go ahead, Rick, you got something. Rick sees a galloping horse. I believe you. I don't find... Ned, what do you see?
Do you see a tiger? That is perfect for the later sermon. Ned, thank you.
You know, but isn't it funny how, like, once somebody points something out to you, in the clouds, then it becomes obvious, then you can totally see it. Like, can we all see Aladdin's lamp now? Oh my gosh, I still have so many. Yes. Wait, there's a dolphin? Oh, I see the dolphin. We got one more? Go ahead.
Ice cream?
Could it be vanilla ice cream? Absolutely. All right, who wants ice cream now? So one of the things that I think is funny is how when now, like now I can only see the dolphin and the Heffalump. Can you now see what other people saw before? It's like our imagination is contagious. When you imagine something and you tell me about it, then I can imagine it too, right? Give me an amen. Which I guess means we should be careful about what we imagine. Because what we imagine together grows. So if anybody was looking at the pictures of the clouds and they saw like scary clowns, I'm glad you didn't share that with us. I want to imagine like dolphins and ice cream and Heffalumps, things that make the world a better place. Whether we're gazing at clouds or at each other, let's imagine together hope, love, and peace. And as our kids get ready to head off to Sunday school, let us gaze at them and offer them a blessing. Please join me in a blessing. Living God, in these faces we see you, your light, your love, your hope for the future. Give us courage and strength to create the world they need. Amen. Amen. Have a wonderful time in Sunday school.
Thank you.
Our second reading this morning is called For the Unknown by Cole Arthur Riley. This is one of my favorite writers. Cole Arthur Riley is a Black best-selling author and poet, and the reading is from her book, Black Liturgies. One note, I try to avoid using metaphors around black or darkness in a negative way. In our culture, too often the things that are white are good and pure, and things that are black are bad and scary. And this can build unconscious bias regarding race. We need way more balance, like the title of Riley's own book, Black Liturgies. The black is also a place of, the dark is also a place of creativity, where things grow, and the night is a time of rest and peace. In the reading from Riley's book, as well as other parts of our worship today, the dark has negative connotations. I'm naming this now to help us resist letting a metaphor strengthen the racism inherent in our society and in ourselves. Hear Riley's prayer for the unknown. God of shadows, our fear of the unknown keeps us from moving at all. Help us not to know. Protect our minds when anxious thoughts about the future refuse to leave us alone. Deepen our breath. Bring us into communities who can be trusted when they tell us we are safe. Comfort us when our minds become frenzied, trying to determine what we cannot possibly know. When questions of what is to come or who will stay with us haunt us, make us kind with our own self-talk, tender to our bodies, loving with all we do have control over. When no amount of courage can diminish fear's power over us, remind us that we too have power as we rise to meet it. Provide a way to peace. We will not fear the dark. Ase. I'm walking more in the dark now. The days are shorter in this hemisphere. And thanks to the ending of daylight savings time, the sun now sets at about 2:30 in the afternoon. But I still need to go for a walk outside in order to have a shot at hanging on to my well-being. So several evenings this week, I was walking in the dark. Shouldn't be a problem. Our new neighborhood has roads in very good condition. There are some street lights, not a lot of traffic. Other people out walking too. But what gets to me are the wild beasts. I'm walking along a wooded section and there is something thrashing through the underbrush. Pretty sure it's a bear, or at least a coyote, something large at least from the noise it's making. And I'm trying to remember, am I supposed to yell or back away or run like heck? I can never remember which thing you're supposed to do for which animal. While I'm still debating, the crashing comes closer until the creature breaks free from the woods. It's a squirrel, out past its bedtime. Now, I hear squirrels scrambling around all the time during my walks, but during the day, they don't sound like apex predators. I know this is about the ancient hardwiring in my body, programmed to go on alert for threats at dusk when the tigers Ned was talking about are out looking for a snack. Never mind that there are no tigers near our condo in Ashland, but somehow knowing that doesn't help when the squirrels are rustling in the leaves in the dark. The author of this morning's psalm was having their own walking in the dark kind of experience. The first two stanzas express deep distress. Out of the depths, I cry to you, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. This is somebody awake in the night and not out for a stroll in their neighborhood. They are in the pit. They are feeling stuck. They are without hope. They are totally lost. This is the dark night of the soul, a season of despair, when it feels like the middle of a long night, even in the bright light of day. The psalmist is waiting for it to get better, waiting for something to change, waiting for God to show up. They're waiting, they say, more than those who watch for the morning. In the psalmist community, people would take turns keeping watch at night, protecting the community from threats, whether that's a wild animal, an actual wild animal, or an invading army. For those on watch, the night was long and dark and stressful. Every shadow was a danger. Every sound was the beginning of an attack. Those on watch were on high alert, staring into the dark, watching for what might emerge from the shadows. That is some serious watching. The safety of the whole community dependent on your watching. And the psalmist says in the dark night of their soul, they are watching even more than that. But what are they watching for? The psalmist and the villager on watch, what are they looking for as they stare into the night? If my evening walks are any indication, they are watching for danger. The setting of the sun or the dashing of their hopes has them anticipating danger all around. The darkness is an enemy providing cover for the threat. So every squirrel is a tiger, every night bird is a bandit, every glowing eye is an enemy army. This week, a colleague, Cameron Trimble, wrote about visiting an observatory. She had to walk through a pitch black field, so dark she couldn't see her own hand in front of her face. The astronomer leading the group told them, "Trust the darkness. With each step, your eyes will adjust and more stars will appear." It's just what happened. Step by step, the world around Cameron revealed itself. She saw trees and rocks and hills in the distance. The beauty of creation rather than enemy threat, not to mention the canopy of stars overhead. Even in the deepest darkness, our eyes can adjust and show us a way forward, step by step, especially if the way forward is what we're looking for. There are lots of people within the sound of my voice who are keeping watch in a long, dark night. Illness, job changes, depression, violence in Gaza, Ukraine, and more. Fear about what the future holds for our country. We can stare into that darkness and see only danger, beasts with sharp teeth, and advancing armies. We can also stare into that darkness and see stars. Light making its way toward us, a constellation of hope to guide us forward. For sure, I am not saying that the danger isn't real. I'm just saying it's not all there is. However much time we spend watching for danger, let's spend at least that much time looking for the stars. Our generosity theme this fall is Imagine Together. We've been imagining together what God is calling this church to do and be, and imagining together what each of us can give financially to bring all that we imagine to life in the year ahead. After this week's election, some of us find ourselves imagining an awful lot of pain in the year ahead. Tigers everywhere. But there are stars, too. As our eyes adjust to the dark, things will become clearer, and we'll see the path ahead. And some of the shadows in the dark aren't the things we fear, but the things we need. People coming together to create and connect and care for each other. Here's one thing I've noticed on my nighttime walks. If Paul or one of the kids is with me, I never think the squirrels are bears. They only sound big and menacing when I'm by myself. Does anybody else have that feeling? I think that's why the generosity theme for this fall isn't just imagine, but imagine together. On my own, it's easy for me to imagine the worst, to find the scariest things in the dark. But when you are with me, not only do my eyes adjust to the dark, my heart does too. Suddenly, the night can be beautiful, peaceful, comforting, rather than something to be afraid of. We need this church and each other more than ever. We need each other to have a place where we can vent and process and pray. And lament. We need each other so we can protect women and unreviewed people and queer folk. Let's start this over and hear more amen. We need this church and each other more than ever. We need each other to have a place where we can vent and process and lament and pray. We need each other so we can protect women and unreviewed people and queer folk. We need each other to stand up to any power that threatens the most vulnerable among us. We need each other to remember how to sing and laugh and eat and create. We need each other to imagine together how to heal a world that may be in even more trouble than we thought. We need each other to find our way in the dark to keep pointing toward the stars. So like the person in the village who stays awake all night to keep their neighbors safe, we too will keep watch together. We'll face whatever danger lies ahead together. We'll help each other see the beauty in the darkness together. We will keep watch together. And morning will come. Amen. Those in person, we hear emergency sirens sounding, and we hold in prayer wherever they might be heading, thinking also of folks this week in Natick who were injured in auto accidents and all the sirens we were hearing this week. As a faith community, we know the power of connecting our hearts with God's presence and each other. So during this time, we share our joys and concerns in prayer. Folks in the room, you'll be invited to share yours aloud. All are welcome to email prayers to prayers@fccnatick.org, and we hold in prayer everyone on the prayer list in the bulletin. We begin with our joys. What joys do you bring to this place today? Bob. Wow. So Chef Bob and his awesome team fed 90 people last night in a loaves and fishes type experience, raising as much as $800 for the West Virginia work camp that we are already getting ready for next year to make homes safe, warm, healthy, accessible, all those good things. Thanks, Chef Bob. And Dave. Ned has put his, how old is Ned, just for people at home? 4. Ned put his head under the water for the first time. I don't know about you, but I still don't like to put my head under the water. So we celebrate Ned's bravery and this moment of growth. Thanks, Dave. And we celebrate Dave's commitment to looking for the beautiful little things that bring us gratitude. Doug. Doug is lifting up the joy of the playground. The best spot in downtown Natick is this little corner right here where families engage in worship together. Thanks, Doug. Gail, do you have any joys up there? Oh. Okay. Bill, is that a joy? So Bill had recordings of conversations with his mom from 25 years ago, and Tim was able to help Bill access those recordings, and so Bill can really experience his mom again. Love it. What concerns do you bring to this place today? Declan. There are some lucky doctors in Boston this week who get to meet Declan. As some of you remember, Declan had an MRI, and he was very brave and got through the MRI. They found a bump in his neck that they are going to use some medical tools to remove on Friday. He's going to stay in the hospital overnight with his mom and dad and come home on Saturday and be all set. Just one night. And so we are grateful for the medical tools and the doctors who will get to meet Declan. We are so grateful for Declan's spirit and for Declan's parents, Beth and Kenny, who are doing such an amazing job as a family anticipating this week. And Declan, you know all of our love and prayers go with you. I am so grateful, Declan, for your honesty in saying that you are scared. We know that there are some medical tests ahead of you, but we know that you have done it already, and you don't do it alone, right? And we love you. We'll make sure you get snacks, too. Other concerns that folks bring to this place today? Pam.
I have a new first grader. He is absolutely adorable. And I'm supposed to read the book to him, but he is so bright. He's like, oh, I know this book, and he read it to me. And all I can do is smile.
Pam has been able to restart one of her volunteer programs, which is Read to a Child. And so she was supposed to read to a first grader this past week, but they surpassed her and read the book to her, which Pam just loved. So we celebrate this work. Yeah, thanks for having a joy. Yeah, good morning. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's Karen. Karen. Karen has been doing volunteer tutoring online, helping people learn English. She worked with a woman from Afghanistan who was able to get out of Afghanistan with the help of Karen and some others. She's now in Russia, still in a fraught situation, but Karen is grateful, and we're grateful for that relationship and for the progress that the woman is experiencing by getting out of Afghanistan. Yeah. Thanks. Carolyn. For folks who are in Natick, if you haven't had a chance yet, or in the area, to be able to go to Natick Common, where the stories of veterans from Natick are being shared on the Common, as we think of Veterans Day tomorrow and hold all of our veterans in prayer, knowing the ways in which veterans are deeply impacted by their service. Thank you, Carolyn, for lifting that up. Lorraine. She's grieving already. We hold in our prayers Lorraine's friend, Diane. Diane's husband is dying, and Diane spends a lot of time at his bedside, also shows up for Golden Tones. No doubt that community really helps, but we hold Diane and her husband in our prayers. Thanks, Lorraine. Sarah Lynn. We are mourning the loss of Sarah Lynn's cousin, Noah, who after 3 years has died from cancer. We're grateful that he's not in pain anymore, but we know that there is still pain for his wife, Jenny, and for their two young kids, Luke and Jack. So we hold all of them in our prayers. We know their faith is very strong, and we trust that they feel God's presence with them. May they feel our presence with them as well. Miriam. We hold Miriam's brother, Alex, in our prayers. He continues to be in the hospital as he seeks to find a balanced way to live with his mental illness. And we hold particularly Miriam's mom in our prayers as she worries about him and tries to figure out the best way to be his mom. And we hold Miriam in our prayers as she feels far from her family in Chile and feels like she can't support them the way she wants to. Bob.
You hold Allison in your prayers. So Allison's mom passed away on Wednesday. So she's grandmother to Bailey and Michael. And I know it was a tough time for Allison.
Yeah. Allison P. travels with us to West Virginia. Her mom died this past Wednesday. We are holding Allison and the whole family in our prayers. Thanks, Bob. Gail, do you have any concerns up there?
Yes, Gretchen Dubois would appreciate prayers for the Hoyt and Ross families. Gretchen's Aunt Verna, her husband Al Hoyt, passed away suddenly last Sunday.
Oh. Gretchen's uncle passed away suddenly last Sunday, so we are holding her Aunt Verna and the whole family in our prayers. And Gretchen, too. Yeah, Natasha. Did you say you have family there? Natasha's family is from Bolivia. And so they stand for us today as symbols of the conflict experienced by people in Bolivia right now, where they are pulled between two political regimes and having trouble having their basic needs met. So we hold Natasha's family and all the people of Bolivia in our prayers. And in the same way, we hold Natasha in our prayers as she feels helpless and far away. Thanks, Natasha. So remember, we come together in prayer not because we believe in a magic wand God, but because we know there is something powerful that happens when we actually name the things that are chasing like those midnight squirrels around our beings and around our brains. So it's not because we've just received a list of things we're supposed to go out into the world and fix, but because right now our hearts are called to connect to each other and across time and space so that the power of our love might change the world. So breathing deeply, let's be together in prayer. These words are by Lynn Cox. Let us pray. Spirit of life, who draws us together in a web of holy relationships, make your presence known with us and in us and among us. Remind us that we are not alone in history. Ignite us with the courage of the living tradition. Remind us that we are not alone in entering the future. Anchor us with patience and perseverance. Remind us that we are not alone in our times of grief and pain. Comfort us with your spirit manifest in human hands and voices. Remind us that we are not alone in joy and wonder. Inspire us to honor and extend the beauty we find in this world. Divine music of the universe, let our hearts beat in diverse and harmonious rhythms, cooperating with an everlasting dance of love. May we move with the rhythms of peace. May we move with the rhythms of compassion. May we move with the rhythms of justice. Source of stars and planets and water and land, open our hearts to all of our neighbors. Open our souls to a renewal of faith. Open our hands to join together in the work ahead. So be it. Blessed be. Amen. To take the morning offering. That offering is dollars and cents, cash and checks, but it is so much more than fives and tens and twenties. This offering is all that this church brings to our lives and to the world, a beloved community that we need now more than ever. This offering is the whole congregation singing a favorite hymn on Sunday morning. It's lives transformed at West Virginia Work Camp. It's a prayer shawl to warm the shoulders of someone in grief. It's people joining in on worship from home. It's the singing silent night in candlelight of Christmas Eve. It's the voices of kids on the playground after school. It's people sharing their struggles and convictions in pub theology. It is meatloaf and salad served with love at open door. It's the playground where children grow in a worship community. It is rainbow flags declaring our commitment to queer kids. It is a morning like this, full of sharing and music and community. That's what this offering is. The ushers will pass offering plates to those in person. You're invited to add your sustainer form, your offering, and or your prayers. As you hold the plate, and folks at home, as you cup your hands, you might briefly imagine what you hope for the world: peace, justice, abundance. This is what we will create together. bless these together. You with me? People at home, this is you too. So we're going to have our hands on our hearts. We're going to have our hands forward, and we're going to have our hands out. When we have our hands on our heart, we're going to say God's love. When we have our hands forward, we're going to say through me. And when we have our hands out, we're going to say blesses the world. You with me? Body of Christ, may our eyes be open so we can see with gratitude all that we have. God's love through me blesses the world. Body of Christ, may our hearts be open so we can practice living out of love rather than fear. God's love through me blesses the world. Body of Christ, may our hands be open so we can share what we have to create the beloved community here and now. God's love through me blesses the world. Body of Christ, together we bless these contributions and commitments and offer them to God, not just scraps of paper, not just our promises for the year ahead, but our very beings, God's body in the world. Once more, God's love through me blesses the world. Amen. Our closing hymn is I, the Lord of Sea and Sky.
Thank you.
You may be seated. Beloved, may God bless you, keep you, be gracious to you. May God give you grace never to sell yourself or God short. Grace to risk something big for something good. Grace to remember that the world is now too dangerous for anything but truth and too small for anything but love. So may God take our minds and think through them. May God take our lips and speak through them. May God take our hands and do good with them. May God take our hearts and set them on fire. Amen.